Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
The first circle, and what I would say that every couple needs to start with, is connection.
One of the gentlemen she was talking to every week said that her call is the only person that she talks to other than kind of medical professionals.
We have guys in Stockton, part of our team. We have a ministry team that goes around, just talks to people, knocks on doors, says hello. And the biggest thing they get response for is, can we pray for you?
Elevating the kingdom of God throughout Newcastle and the Hunter. This is Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
Hey, Rick Prosser, Kingdom Works here. It's great to be with you again. Go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au. That's where you can find us. We've got a little e-news that goes out every few weeks. You can subscribe to that, and there'll be some really cool information about what's happening in and around the region, what the Lord's doing, maybe ways that you can engage, and as well with some of our guests that we've had on this program, and the opportunities to engage with community and all sorts of different ways. You're going to love my special guest today. We're picking up a conversation we started last week around prisons, prison ministry fellowship. I've got with us again on the program, Tom Carr. Welcome back, mate. It's great
to have you. Thanks, Rick. Great to be back.
Fantastic. Tom, we'll just recap a fraction. Prison ministry fellowship is working in prisons with those that are incarcerated in a really non-judgmental way. There's no conditions of engagement. It's a willing engagement from those that are imprisoned. And interestingly, you mentioned last week, the harsh reality is whilst people are paying for a crime they've committed today, there were a large number of them, we wouldn't say all, but a large number of them have had crimes against them somewhere in their past, and many as they were young kids, that have caused traumas that cause other things to manifest. It's a big deal. Very real, mate. Very real.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It happens. And one thing that we find, especially, we run a restorative justice course that that teaches them about you know, the impact of their crime on the people that they're committed against, the victims of the crimes, and seeking forgiveness and all these things. But one thing it also does is helps them identify in themselves what that trauma was in their life or what abuse they've suffered, and encourage them to forgive the people that have done that to them. Now, this is a really important step forward for them, because they never get that opportunity while they're in prison. You know, they've got psychs and everyone working on how they're going to be when they get back into society towards other people, but they completely forget about that, what's their own mental health. And so, if you know, we know as Christians that if someone does something against us and we don't forgive that, it drags us down. It's a ball and chain around our neck. It really is a yoke. So we encourage these guys to identify what happened to them and forgive the people that have done it to them.
And that's it, and that's the whole capture of restoration of people.
Absolutely.
That's very, very powerful. You know, when you can be released from those things, it releases other things.
That's right. And if they're not released from those things and come back out, they come back out bitter and you know, with the same problems that got them in there in the first place.
Yeah, that's amazing, going to some root causes that's probably not in the norm of rehabilitation.
Yeah.
I'd imagine, I am imagining, I don't really know, but I imagine that would be part of the case going back so we can go forward. What's happening? I mean, the need's huge throughout. How many prisons are there in the state of New South Wales?
There are 37 at the moment. That goes up and down. Old prisons close, new ones open, and old ones get repurposed.
From brand new ones that I'd imagine would be almost pimped up with tech and so on, and I imagine comfort.
Yeah, reasonable comfort, more for the staff than the inmates.
But, yeah, of course, and then two archaic old prisons. Just describe one that some people are find themselves in.
Yeah, I mean, there's one in particular, and in fact, I can think of two that have, you know, no glass on the windows, just bars. Some of the inmates, if they're lucky, get hold of a piece of cardboard that they can stick up on the window and poke holes in so they can get airflow, but it'll stop the sleet coming in. No heating, no cooling. You know, they're not comfortable places. They're not good places to be. And I know they're not supposed to be, but some of us would look at that and think, I could not spend a night in that place. You know, those are prisons where people are in for 15, 20 years. And
And horrendous. And that's where, you know, our thinking towards these people has to shift a fraction. Sure, they're paying for crimes that they've committed, but they're in, you know, there's a perception, oh, they live in the dream in these beautiful places. They got pay TV, you know, they got more stuff. But it's just not the case.
No.
As a generalization, it's not the case.
It's not the case.
Have you experienced any men or women that are incarcerated that want to be there?
No, not yet. I'll keep my eye out. But I mean, even down to the food, you know, some of these prisons run industry out of them. So there's one that I visited yesterday that I've been to many times that builds furniture in a huge factory. And guys go to work Monday to Friday building that furniture. If they do well at that, they get sort of $27 a week, which is not great money. In prison, you'd think it's okay because you don't need any. What they do with that $27 a week is they buy on Fridays. Most of the guys will buy a meat pack that costs them $14. That's two sausages, a piece of bacon, and a minute steak about this big. And they cook it up over a barbecue. That's their celebration. And a can of Coke. The rest I'll go on, you know, maybe Maggi noodles to keep them going through the week. But they say we can't eat the food that they give us here. So Friday we get a feed, these two sausages, a piece of bacon, and a minute steak. And you just think, that's tough. You work all week to get that.
It's a tough world. What are some of the things you're seeing happening through your connection with inmates?
I've seen a lot, and I don't want to put anyone down. I certainly don't want to put corrective services down, but the system itself is broken in different ways. And so, you know, you see a lot of bad things happening inside, but it's when people get out that you see the real tragedies happen. I've had one guy that I've been working with. He was the first person I visited 5 years ago, and he was a wreck when I first met him. Thankfully, the chaplain worked hard with him at a church, a regional church, did a lot of work with this guy, and I was kind of along for the ride as a visitor and a mentor, I guess. But this guy got out of prison fairly recently. He was on parole. He had his ankle bracelet on, so he was monitored. And when he was released, he's a diabetic as well. He was released with no insulin. So when inmates get released, they get a trauma payment from Service New South Wales, which is $300. His insulin for diabetes cost him $310 or something. So I slung him $20 so he could get that and a milkshake. And so he had enough medicine for a month. He had accommodation for three nights in a motel room. When he got arrested, he was in a pub wearing a pair of shorts, had his driver's license in his pocket and a pair of thongs. And that was all he went in with. His thongs decayed over the time that he was in prison. His shorts didn't fit anymore, and his driver's license was expired. And his wife at the time sold off everything as soon as he went to prison and disappeared. So he literally, I mean, not just figuratively, he literally has absolutely nothing. Well, he came out, his 3 days were coming to an end, and I went to the parole office with him and said, so what do we do now? He's got nowhere to stay. And they said, well, you know, we can lend you a tent and you can sleep in that. And he said, well, that's great, but how do I charge my ankle bracelet? Because I'm sure there's not going to be power out there in that bush.
Shivers.
And they said, yeah, that's a problem. If you don't charge it, we'll have to pick you up, and it'll be a breach of parole.
Well,
there, by the grace of God, this guy found help, and made it through that trying time. He's still being tried each and every day, but he's paying his own rent. He's working. He's going to Bible study twice a week. He's going to church on Sundays. He's paying tax. He's he's a beautiful guy.
So he's integrating well, but he's had a good circle of community around him that's helped shape that for him.
Which is why we're talking to you guys, you know. Yeah.
Hey, if you just joined us, Rick Prosser here, Kingdom Works, my special guest, Tom Carr, Prison Ministry Fellowship. Tom, in our remaining 5 minutes, just touch on a few of that. I mean, the assumption that when people leave prison, everything's okay is just not true.
No.
In fact, it's a catalyst for more problems and more challenges. The isolation, they've got nothing, and some are left with nothing. Some enter into society with nothing, no resources, no help.
Yeah.
It's very real. And this is not just one off. This is like prolific.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are 13,000 or about 12,500 inmates in New South Wales at the moment. The cycle is about 4,500 a year. So 4,500 people coming out, another 4,500 going in. What happens with a lot of them when they come out, and the guy that I spoke of earlier has said this to me many times and as recently as in the last few days, that, you know, I might as well just go and hold up a 7-Eleven and go back inside, because it's easier.
It's easier.
And it's not easier to live in prison, I can absolutely assure you that. But when they're sentenced, when they get a sentence of incarceration, it's a life sentence.
Yeah.
It never goes away. So, you know, this guy's family don't associate with him anymore. Yep. And that's so many people.
It's just hard to get everything.
Yep.
Everything that we would take as normal, hard to get jobs because of the history. Someone's got to take a risk somewhere to give these guys a break, and that's what Prison Ministry Fellowship's doing, and the engagement that it's looking to looking to surface here through the body of Christ in our region with the prisons that we have. What are some of the ways that people can engage? Because it's not just going into prisons, because some might be, that's too much for me.
Yeah.
What are some of the easy entry points for people to volunteer and engage?
Yeah, and that's a great point. Going into the prisons isn't for everybody, and that's perfectly right and understandable. It's not a great environment. What we do have is we can do a sort of soft landing with things like letter writing. You can communicate with inmates, and we get a lot of them that ask for a letter writer because they've got no contact with people on the outside. So you can do that. It involves writing a letter once a fortnight, once a month. And when they send the letter back, it comes to our office and we forward that to you. So there's no security concerns.
Okay, so it's a two-way. It ends up being a two-way conversation.
Yep.
I'd imagine getting a letter in prison could be quite a pleasant surprise.
Oh, it's a huge surprise. And I can tell you from witnessing it many times, inmates hang on to those letters for the rest of their time in there, and they refer back to them, they read back through them. They're cherished possessions.
And so if somebody who's wanting to engage in that, I'd imagine many of our listeners could do that and would be very good at it, actually.
Yeah.
Is it like, just contact you. All Tom's information will be on our website and feeds. But Tom, I want to associate or connect as a pen pal, if you like, with somebody in a prison in my region. Is that possible?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Easily done. Brilliant. And we can match you up with someone that's going to be suitable. I'm not going to match. We've got women in their 90s who have been doing this. Our very first volunteer over 40 years ago is still communicating with the person that they were communicating with in that first, the first time she volunteered. Never met her in person. The two have never met each other in person, but they've been writing for over 40 years, best friends. But we'd match you up with someone that is a good suit for you. You know, if you're a 90-year-old woman, we're not going to link you up with a 19-year-old sex offender or something. It's
yeah,
just,
You know, I'm just conscious of scripture comes to mind. The Lord places the lonely in families, and this becomes part of the new family for many. What are some other ways that people engage in different ways?
Yeah, so that's a soft landing.
Yeah.
One of the harder ways, people that are getting out of prison, there are opportunities to come alongside them and to help them get through those day-to-day lives, to, you know, get them down to a Centrelink office, help them sign up for a bank account, all that sort of thing, and just be someone they can call when they're on the outside. That program itself is called T24, Transition 24, and we look at the first 24 months that they're out. If they get through that 24 months, they're statistically likely to stay out for life. So we want to be their friend at that time. We want to welcome them into a community, a church community, which is going to help them. And this region around the Newcastle area is exactly the place for that, because you've got support networks, you've got services available, you've got everything that's needed in the right at your doorstep.
We just need to put flesh on it for some people that are going to love people, accept them for
absolutely.
Who they are. And not judge them.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, we love what you're doing, Tom. This is a vital outreach ministry, and perhaps it's for you. Perhaps just through this conversation, the Lord's triggered something in your life to think, well, I could do that. Well, there's a great need. The need's enormous. And I would say our responsibility is vital in this, that the church moves into these places of darkness to bring light, to bring hope, so that we can see people's lives restored. Brilliant. Tom, well done. Thanks for being on the program, mate. Well done to you guys and everything that you're doing to mobilize people into the prison system.
Thank you very much. And I'd just like to add to that too, our responsibility is that, but I will tell you, it's an absolute privilege too. You meet the most interesting people that you will meet anywhere.
Beautiful.
And prison's my happy place. I love being in there. You meet amazing, amazing people.
Yes.
So
beautiful,
pray
mate.
About that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Hey, go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au. That's where you can find us. We'd love to connect you up with this ministry. There's a number of other ministries that are working with inmates as well. But we'd love to connect you up with this one. Prison Ministry Fellowship, because there is the need's enormous, and perhaps you could be in that space. That'd be awesome. Fantastic. It's great being with you again. Go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au, and that's where you can find us. Bye for now.
This has been Kingdom Works on Rema FM.